Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Every community has some distinct feature. If you look at people of the West, then they want to exert influence, show authority, and remain the boss in some way or the other. Then, if you look at the Chinese, they want to make money, they keep themselves occupied. Same with the Japanese. Chinese, Japanese seems like one community, and the whole mind is just consumed in making money. Then you look at the black, so something quite unique in them that you don't hear of them, or you haven't seen them falling into idolatry. Allah knows, but you haven't heard of them getting into idol worship. So yesterday there was an email. And the problem with the email is you don't know who is speaking and who they're referring to. Is it they're referring to themselves, or really they're referring to someone else? So the person is asking that he's got some Hindu friends, and the Hindu friend says that if we are worshipping idols, then you also believe in an imaginary God. You imagine someone to be God and you feel he is the creator. So we also are worshipping some images and you are worshipping some imaginations. So that was his the khulasa of what he had to say. Summary of what he had to say. Let him see, your reasoning is flawed. Because idolatry such is subject to your manufacturing. You make it, it comes, and you break it, it goes. Right. In a moment, you can carve it. In a moment, you can destroy it. And anybody, as a child, anybody, says that this thing can't do anything. Can't talk, can't do good, can't do harm. So everybody will say the same thing. And if you say that we believe in a God, we believe in an imagination, right? Then understand what you are saying. Explain to him. In brief, I will explain, but the detail of it is the essence of everything in life, in this life, the essence of everything is not visible. You will see everything else, but all the essence and what is desired, that you cannot see it. The very gist of your being is your life, right? That's the essence. That's the gist of your being. But can anybody show life? But your worth is because of your life. And you are unworthy if there is no life. So now that's the design of Allah Ta'ala, that the essence and the gist of everything, so what is desired, that is not visible. Right. You come home to sleep, right? But sleep itself, can you explain what it is? You can show symptoms of sleep, but sleep itself can't show it. You can show, for example, You can say that this person is intelligent. Right? What makes you say that he's intelligent? That he's working orderly. There is some system in his behavior, his ways, and his mannerisms. So you come to the conclusion that he's intelligent. So you say he's got intelligence. But I ask you, where's the intelligence? Can you show it? Now, that intelligence is your being, like life is your being. Intelligence is your value. That's your value. Without the intelligence, any value. Can you attach any value? Finished. So, this is a grand plan of Allah Ta'ala. That the gist of everything is not visible in this life. Now, you would say that the person is intelligent because of certain symptoms, some behavior patterns, some symptoms, you say he is intelligent. You say he possesses intelligence. Won't you say that? If someone says that he doesn't have intelligence, then you prepare to fight with him. And you don't want to accept that, that he is not intelligent. So, I showed him a couple of, this person, I gave it to him in brief, this is a khulasa. That everything in this life, the essence, the gist of it is concealed, you can't see it. This isn't the thing that is desired that is visible. You know, the desire of behind the desire. So, you have money, right? You have a home, you have money, you have a wife. So why you want money, why you want wife? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Right? And you find some solace and some tranquility. That's the idea, having a house, having a wife, right? جَعَلَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. Right? And wife, لِتَسْكُنُوا. So both you want solace, you want tranquility. But tranquility, can you show it? Nobody can show it. But the idea of the wife is sukoon. Idea of the house is sukoon. Sukoon, litaskunu ilia sukoon, sakan. Can you show it? Can't show it. So, this whole discussion, I didn't mention it to this person. Let me just give a brief discussion, because you don't know who's the person behind. Right? Now, if they ask now, then you have to give them in detail. Maybe a small child has their own story here and there, and they're passing it. For me to give him a long discussion, maybe you won't appreciate it, so just give them a small thing. They ask in detail. So this discussion I had with one specialist. His wife was in hospital. He wanted me to come and comfort him about his wife now. She died now. So she was in the last throes and he wanted me to come. So I went. I told him, see, medication is in your hand. Healing, can you do it? The idea for the medication is to heal. For the healing, you can't. You can't administer the healing. Yes, medication you can administer. But the healing, it's only Allah works. So all this, should your life, satisfaction, peace, intelligence, all this, sleep, real sleep, nobody can show it. Nobody can say what it is. But we all believe that these are things like sleep, intelligence, satisfaction, peace, we all believe there is a thing like that. Why? Because of the symptoms. Right? So now come to the conclusion. Right? So before you come to the conclusion, you have to bring a muqaddimah. You build up the argument and you come to the end. So now, look at this whole world. Right? Nobody wants to believe that something happened here and there was nobody behind it. Nobody wants to believe. البعرة تدل على البعير. If there was some animal waste here, can you believe that there was some evolutionary process And then this came there. So Rajiv was a monkey, became a donkey, then became mess. Anybody wants to believe that? But you say Tadullu al Ba'id. The waste shows that there was an animal, a camel or someone, walked past here. Small stupid dirt, for that you say, no, there must have been someone that brought about the waste here. Well, Atharu Tadullu al Aqdam. And similarly, exactly the same, you see footprints, right? So that footprints, you don't want to believe that that footprints just came through evolution, proton, neutron, atoms, all that, right? Nobody else. You don't want to hear all the scientific terms. They say, no, man, someone walked here. Someone walked here, right? So, small, insignificant, little insignificant things, you see, it couldn't come of its own, that someone walked here, someone messed here, so this is the result of his messing or walking. So, فَهَذَا فَهَذِي السَّمَاءُ ذَاتُ الْأَبْرَاجِ وَالْأَرْضُ ذَاتُ الْفِجَاجِ كَيْفَ تَدُلُّ كَيْفَ لَا تَدُلُّ عَلَى اللَّطِيفِ الْخَبِيرِ. The heavens with all the hundreds of cosmic, all systems, right? Earth, thousands of systems here, right? And they're working total harmony. How can it ever be possible that it doesn't have a maker? First it had a maker, right? That footsteps had a maker. The systems you look in the world is so accurate, precise, harmonious, right? And how can it be? Can it ever be? So there's so many systems in this world here. One system you look, أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. So there is the heaven and the earth that's working in harmony. So the earth is crying. I need water. So the heaven pours down. فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Then life comes up. So every life becomes جَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. So life is dependent on water. Right. So that means there is some harmonious relationship between the heaven and the earth. The earth needs the heaven. So it pours from that point. Right. Then again, you see, all right. For man's continuity, he needs to be nourished, continuity. So within the earth, Allah Ta'ala created nourishment. So incomplete thing. Just created man and left him with that. No. He created him, then he created the means for his sustenance, for him to be sustained. See that? So he created and the sustenance that goes with it. So there's so many systems, so many systems. Impossible. Like, you don't want to believe in that bara doesn't indicate towards a ba'id. Asar, not towards Mashul Abdam. So, how can it ever be possible? So, you have to come to the conclusion that there is a grand, a supreme creator. Right? So the thing that comes on the way of man is two things come in the way to prevent him from Tawheed, right? One is what happened to Iblis, Aba, right? But the denial, where it came from? The denial came, that kufr, see, he denied that. Denial is disbelief, right? But what was the catalyst of the denial? Aba was takbar. So, the catalyst, the cause for the denial is the takbar. Now this Allah Pak shows it in another place. أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. See that? أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. You made him over me. You made him superior to me. So his whole reason for rejecting, denial, disbelief was takabbur. I was supposed to be in that seat. Why is he in that seat? Aba was takbar. So therefore, our elders have identified the root cause. The root cause is takabbur. See, showing Iblis, and the root cause, what is the root cause? The root cause is takabbur. Then, one of the main kafirs Allah Pak speaks about repeatedly in the Quran Sharif is Fir'aun, right? And Allah Pak ends that whole discussion, كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَلْبِ. What's the idea of that? مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَلْبِ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. Is it? First thing, ala kulli qalbi mutakabbir. In the entire heart. The entire heart is covered with what? It's sealed. Yadba'u Allahu ala kulli qalbi mutakabbir. But if you have takabbur, then there's a seal. And it's sealed totally. When it's sealed now, iman can't even filter through. He says, ala kulli qalbi mutakabbirin jabbar. So he doesn't have. If he's short of something, then he's short of humility. So therefore our elders have identified that this is the cause, that takabbur. Right. See, Fir'aun thought to himself that if I will accept him, then that means I'm going to be under him. See, what will happen? I have to be under him, living under him. And now for years and for centuries, it was the Fara'ina that were ruling over Egypt. And now, I'll be breaking this whole dynasty. So see what was the cause. Then you look at Hercules in English, right? So, he was a person that had knowledge of the scriptures. Right? And initially he wanted to accept Islam. So the elite, he called them, right? And he expressed his intentions. And when there was a big hubbub and a fury and all that broke out there, then he made up a story, said, no, I just wanted to test you out. Are you strong in your faith or not? Because he saw now what's the response. And he may lose his position, his influence, his might, his mane, everything will be lost. So now, he's comparing, right? I accept Islam, then my everything is gone. My power, my influence, all is gone if I accept Islam. And with this, I'll have my power, my might, my glory, everything I'll have. And when I say that he wanted to accept Islam, so he says also, when he read the letter, that I didn't expect him to be from amongst you people. Number two, لَوْ كُنْتُ إِنْدَهُ لَغَسَلْتُ رِجْلِي. Had I been there, I would have washed his feet. Now, it's indicative that he wanted to accept Islam, didn't he? Right. Therefore, some ulama say that perhaps he was a Muslim. But the majority say, no, he has nothing to do with Islam. Even if there's a hadith like this, the hadith is fabricated. Because then, you see, in the Ghazwa al-Mu'ta, right, where the three Sahaba kiram, the Shaheed, Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa, Hazrat Jafar, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawaha, where all these three were martyred, Ghazwa al-Mu'ta. They call it also Jayshul Umara. What? Jayshul Umara. Why Jayshul Umara? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed the leaders, Jayshul Umara. Zayd, Jafar, and Abdullah bin Rawaha. He pointed them. This is called Jaysh al-Umara. So, all the historians say that Hercules supported this thing here. So he was challenging what? He was challenging Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he says now, on the one side, لَوْ كُنْتُ عِنْدَهُ لَغَسَلْتُ رِجْلِهِ, then this thing is working against him, then why did you support this thing here? If you knew it was the truth, then why you went against it? So they can't accept that he died as a Muslim. Allah knows. Beyond that, Allah knows. Right? But then, what was the catalyst? See, when you say that you want to accept Islam, right? حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتَرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا. The moment you said آمَنَّا, then وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, then you're going to get some challenges. They're going to test you out. Huh? I'm telling you, I'm selling Mercs. BM I'm selling. Starting off with 10 million and BMs I'm selling, 20 million, right? Eaters, all computerized and everything. Right? So I'm showing the money, right? So now, so you are in Cape Town, he's in Port Elizabeth, he's in Johannesburg, dealership is in Durban, right? So now when you hear these cars are coming out, and you heard the price, then you want to buy. But before you want to invest in this thing here, what are you going to do? You're going to try it out. And you're going to just throw that 20 million. Or you'll try the thing out. So, if you just investing this paltry amount, and you want to test your product, you want to test the commodity, doesn't Allah have the right to test you out? You're saying, Amanna, so you have all the right to test you out now, put you in different trials. So you said Amanna, I believe now. Beyond that now, you can see, are you true in that? فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. But you're honest, you're saying something, you're true. So this test will come out. There isn't a time when the test won't come out. In Tariq, they got Jibrillah bin Ayham, right? Qayyat Ayyab Sabah, they should talk about him. More times than Allah speaks about him. So he accepted, he's a king, Christian king, and he accepted Islam. Now, he comes for Hajj. Obviously, a king will come with all his entourage, hundreds of people will come. Now, why is in the Tawaf, one village's foot went on his lower garment, his lungi now. So some of his satr was exposed. I'm making Tawaf in the rush, and he just tramped the thing. So he got very angry, and he slapped the villager. The villager came and complained to Umar radiallahu anhu, in the Tawaf, this is what had happened. So Jibrillah was summoned straight away. So he appeared. What's the problem? This person is going to complain against you, that this is what you did to him. So Jibrillah is summoned, the villager is, he is the complainant, right? He is a claimant, mudda'i. He is a complainant, and this is what he did to me. Jibrillah acknowledges I did this. But now, what made me equal to this villager? I am the king. And I am on equal footing now, Islam. Made me equal. So I acknowledge, and Islam says, wal juruha qisas. Injuries equal for equal. Sin bi sin, tooth for a tooth, nose for a nose. Wal juruha qisas. And injuries equal for equal. Injuries you will not see now, status for status, no. It's equal for equal. So status is not seen when you are looking at crime, then you don't look at status. The world now presently, they look at status. Status, then there's a different law, and no status, then there's a different law. But in Islam, status is not a consideration, a point of consideration. So when the Islamic law is ziruha qisas, injury equal for equal. That is why ustad that in the madrasa, sometimes they beat the child there. So they must also think, well, juruha qisas, injuries equal for equal. Allama Shami is allowed that the teacher can hit, right? But he says only two shots. And that also غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّحٍ, not such a way that you leaving marks and breaking bones. People that adopted this stance, they said that the flesh is yours and bones are ours, that is not a charity. They adopted it themselves. They brought it out themselves. But that's not, they got no license for that. Well, what Sai Sadhguru says now, if you have beat the child, now how are you going to, what are you going to do now? Because if the child didn't, there was no compensation, right? On the day of Qiyamah, there's going to be something. So now on the one child, one side, you hit the child, okay, five shots. So then you have a child to give me five shots. Can the class run that? Can you run a class like that? Then he says, alright, if you have to, say if you have to, then at least try and cover up for the child. Because he's not in a position of retaliating, right? And he has to have, you have to have that administration in the class. That smooth administration. If you're going to hit him, and the child is going to hit him back, can he have any type of control? There's not going to be any control, there won't be any education. Now, what do you do? One is you won't hit. But if you are pressed to hit, then what do you do? At the end of the class, you try and cover up. So how do you cover up? One way to cover up is ask him to hit. To the strength that you had hit him, he must hit you. But now that is not workable because you won't have a class there. But now then what will be a substitute for this? So the substitute is hitting, actually is hitting back and retaliating is so that he feels that, see, what the person has done to me, and I've retaliated, I'm feeling at ease. So the hitting back is so that he must feel at ease, he must feel comfortable. So, in this type of a case, you can't have it. So what are you going to do? So you have to make him feel happy and make him feel satisfied at ease. So if you've done that, it can be a child, it can be your wife, but you overstep the mark. And when you overstep the mark, what you do? You do something to ease, satisfy, make her feel happy. So you bought him a box of chocolates. Whole box of lemon chocolate. Now will the child be happy? One person, now he learnt about the hukukul ibad. So he was a little bit rough with his worker. Shouted him, maybe gave him one shot or something. Then at the end of the day he realized, no, I overstepped the mark. I was not supposed to be doing this, being so rough towards him. So, the worker's salary is 3,000 rands for the month. Now, to compensate for this, what he did, he pulled out 500 rands and gave him. Like one day's salary in a week, right? 500 rands, pulled out to give him. Now, but he wanted to make out in his mind, okay, the worker, is he happy now, satisfied, so that my mind is cleared. So he got someone else to find out, you know, happy, at ease. So the worker said, no man, that type of shouting, you know, that I would prefer it if it happens every day. So that means he was satisfied, he was happy. Well, juruha qisas. Now, when this was told to Jibrillah, Jibrillah said, all right, can I have some time to think about it, right? So Umar said, that's left between you and the villager. You've hurt him. If he gives you a respite, that's between you and him. I can't impose upon the villager to waive his right because of you. I can't say that. But if he of his own says, all right, I waive the right till tomorrow, I can have this one day for respite, let me think about it. So anyway, Umar the villager said, all right, think about it. By the night, this person is absconded, is gone, all his people is gone. Back to Christianity. But till he died, he was ever regretful, had I only taken that one moment of humiliation and saved myself from the horror of Jahannam. Now, for that moment of disgrace, I couldn't tolerate that moment of disgrace, but what I have purchased was Jahannam. So again, in Hercules you saw the same thing. What was the catalyst? What was the thing that prevented the impediment? Impediment was that pride. Jibrillah, pride. You know, for everybody, this village is going to give me one shot. What shot is going to give me, right? On my face. And I won't have any name left. So that pride becomes the main catalyst in the whole equation of Islam. Allah Ta'ala.